We just want to say thank you to everybody for being here, and just what God is doing. It's a great thing to see families visiting at the same time, knowing that families are on vacation. It's a great thing when you know that families are able to take off. Years ago, when I pastored a church, I would actually tell our congregation, I would say, look, if I see you here every week this summer, I said, I'm going to be very angry, because that means you did not purposely take time to go spend time with your family and go take that quality time. How many remember the whole series of the messages concerning the five love languages? You ever read the book or know anything about that? Well, one of the major love languages is quality time. And that's something that our kids need from the parents, spouses need from each other. And so the vacation time really, you know, when you're able to be in a car for so many hours or in a plane, and you bond together pretty quick. And so, you know, after that, you need a vacation from your vacation, but that's beside the point, you know. So, but it's so good to see that you're here. And again, next week I will be having about 69 people with me that will be with me for the whole week, actually doing outreaches from Ogden to Provo. But I told them, I go, I'm going to be ministering Sunday morning here, and so I'm going to bring them in. And so I know we have families that are going to be out of town because of, again, vacations, as you stated. And but with that, I just encourage you to come, and you'll be able to have a seat, because all these kids are going to be able, that are coming, are by all means going to let you guys have a seat, and they'll be like all over the floor everywhere, and, you know, we'll just go from there. So, hey, I'm going to get into our message here, being that the 4th of July and Independence and our focus on targeting, you know, where's our patriotism? Where are we in our walk, and what's going on right now? I mean, the fact that you stated earlier when we opened up, just the opportunity you had to sit with some quality people that, you know, have the ability to give advice to the president. I mean, that's pretty impressive. And with that, you know, it really goes to the place where we're at for each of our own lives, with all the debates going on and everything coming up with a new president. It's just something for us to look at and see, okay, where do we focus our value system? Where do we look? And again, emphasizing what you stated, that we have a book. We have clearly a book that guides us and leads us and helps us to make those right choices as far as, God, what is it that you have for me? Where I want to go today is something about the idea of, okay, what is freedom? If our people are in military or are fighting for us to be free, and we live in that freedom, when we get to go to the parks and see the fireworks and, you know, roast those hot dogs and do all the stuff that we do, you know, we do that because there's people that are actually paying the price and sacrifice. Well, the ultimate sacrifice that we all understand and we know is, for those that have known about God or know the scriptures, is clearly the sacrifice that Christ paid on that cross for us. And because he did that for you and me, there is freedom. There is freedom because someone already paid the price for us. All we have to do is be willing to accept and reach out and know and understand, God, you're in control of my life now because I surrender my life over to you. I want us to go into some scripture here in 2 Corinthians. You mentioned it here in the concept of our catechism with the kids. And I don't know if you guys know this, but I love this with the kids. They have opportunity for us as adults to sit with the kids for a good 5 minutes or so and have them learn some questions and learn the answers to those questions and be able to know together. The last 2 weeks, just to let you know, Ken, that pretty much stumped, you know, a lot of the, you know, all of us were like, these questions were like pretty intense. And here all the little kids are like, I got it, no problem. You know, they were like showing us off. And so, but on Father's Day, we were able to bless everybody with a piece of candy. Figured we would do that and, you know, go from there. And by the way, just to let you know, there are some awesome treats in the back. So you guys don't want to just walk right out. Don't forget, there's some treats for everybody, okay? So let me pray again. God, I just thank you so much that as we can get into your word and we can understand clearly, God, who you are in our lives. God, we just ask you to help us to understand that we would be a dry sponge right now. And just soak up, God, what you have to say in your words, Lord. Thank you that we can gather. We know there's many families that are still out, and they're out vacationing with their friends and doing things with family. And we pray protection over them, God. Thank you for all you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so let's dive into 2 Corinthians. And chapter, the end of chapter 2 starts diving into something where Paul starts telling this Corinthian church about this new covenant. He starts speaking with them about this new covenant, And I want to read a little bit here, chapter 2, verse 12. And then from there, we're going to just skip right through the following chapters from there. This is going to be a little bit of reading, but it really leads to where we're going today. Chapter 12, it says, "Now when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened a door for me, I still had no peace of mind because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them and went on to Macedonia. But thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere." Now I'm gonna stop and read that again. This is really intense for us as a Christian. Okay, as a Christian. Here we go, verse 14. "But thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are an aroma that brings death, to the other an aroma that brings life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity as those sent from God." This is important, and the emphasis here about our walk with God. I love that it says we're held captive in this triumphal procession. To be held captive means that God, you're basically like a captive. I'm captured. He's got me. I can't get away. But listen to the words, the way it's stated. I am a captive to this procession of triumph. What is that saying? That is saying that God, as I go through my day-to-day walk, that knowing that, Lord, if you're with me wherever I go, God, people are going to know. People are going to know that I'm with you and you're with me. There's this aroma. Now, there's not literally an aroma, okay? We're not like we walk out of here all smelling like something else, all right? We're literally talking spiritually. There's the presence of God that goes with each one of you as you're the salt, as you're the light, as you're the ones that represent him. People can know. So when you even open your mouth, it comes to that place where people will know, okay, you're giving me an aroma of life, or you're giving me an aroma of death. Not that you're preaching death, but the grace of God is available. But if the person rejects it, they're choosing death. And that's why that message is coming from us to them. When I walk into a setting, people are either going to say, "Hey, praise God, Alfred's here," or they're going to say, "Oh man, Alfred's here." I mean, has that ever happened to you? You walk in and everyone gets all excited because you're there. Hey! And they're actually walking into a room and everyone's like, "Oh, don't sit by me." You know, and so it's just going to be that way. Is it going to be that way because of me? No. It's going to be that way because of Christ in me. Christ says, it's not that they are going to persecute you for you. If they're going to persecute you, it's because of me in you. You, they like. But you start sharing me, they don't like it. And there might be a rise up against it, or there's going to be an embrace and say, "Oh, come on in. Welcome. Be a part of." Now, how does this go with, it says, a new covenant? Remember, it was brought up just earlier, even in catechism here, that a covenant, the old one, was based on laws. It was based on legalism. You had to live this perfect life, and they couldn't do it. And so now this new covenant is based on grace. The ability to know that I could accept God into my life. I could walk with him day to day. And if God be in me, man, things are going to change. Remember last week's message, we talked about that Moses, God used him to be able to reach the people. How? Through miraculous signs and wonders. Think about it. All the Ten Commandments and all the plagues that took place, the water parting, the whole thing, all that was huge signs and wonders and things that took place. In other words, that was proof that God was with him. It wasn't just an aroma in that context. It was like, wow, there's some powerful things taking place here. Okay, so now we get to a setting. that you and I, in our triumphal procession, in our triumphal walk with God, we have the ability to see and make a change. Have any of you been to a parade? Right? Have you worked hard to get to that parade? And you, especially the ones down here in Salt Lake or whatever, and you got to be there early just to camp out, and people are pinching tents, and they're doing all this stuff, and you barely could see and get there. But if you worked your way to get to it, you know when that parade, when that procession starts coming, one by one, I'm assuming every one of those people in the parade, you're going to smile, oh, look, here comes that band. Oh, look, here come the clowns. Oh, look at that float. All that, you know, and just like for everything that's passing by, they're looking at it one by one. And you're seeing it one by one, and you're looking at what's going on, and that float is happening, and you've worked hard to get to it to see every one of those things. Now, I want you to think about this. You see, the people are watching us. When we declare that we are now living for God, and when we declare in any manner whatsoever that God lives in me, that God is there for me, people are watching us in our day-to-day walk, and they want to see, you know, are we going to bring them like, wow? Or is it going to be more like, ah, oh, that was a dud? You ever gone to a firework display? You get all excited. Next thing you know, like, that was all right. I got to tell you, one of the best ones I've been to, if you ever have a chance next year to go to, are Taylorsville Days. Has anybody ever gone to Taylorsville Days? Okay, it's on the main night. It's mind-blowing, the firework display they put on there. It's a wow factor. You know, that wow factor is one that we should have when we walk in every setting and every place in our life. People are like, whoa, man, praise God. Is it because Alfred's here? No, because God is with him. Now, how can now, day to day, this is day to day. How does God be with me one day and the next day he's not with me? I'm going to show you how. Okay, we're talking about a new covenant. I'm going to jump to chapter 3, and we're going to go right into it. It says, now, if this ministry that brought death, which engraved in letters in stone came with glory, chapter 3, verse 7. Now, if this ministry that was brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of his glory, transitory through it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that brought condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was transitory came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? And I don't know if you guys are like, what are you talking about? Verse 12. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. And listen to this. This is kind of a shocking statement here that Paul writes. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was the passing away. Now, let me explain this. This is where I wanted to get to. Here you have Moses, and we just bragged about him last week. Okay? We bragged about him. We talked about how God used him. Remember the series that we were in, and we talked about how am I going to get out of my current situation? And we talked about how God used Moses after 400 years of slavery with the Egyptians, and God used him in signs and miraculous ways. And God was clearly with him. And he goes into the mountains, and he goes into this place, and he goes up there in the presence of God. And God comes on him in such a powerful way. Think about getting so in tune with God that the next thing you know, you're literally radiating. You're radiating. You're radiating to the place where you're glowing. And then when Moses came down from the mountain after spending some time up there, the Bible says that the people looked at Moses and they said, Moses, please cover your face. Cover your face because we can't even see you. You're shining so bright. You know, does the moon have its own light? No, it radiates what the sun gives. And we see the reflection of that. We see the radiation of that. Now think about this. Paul says here, don't be like Moses. That's kind of odd. Because we've always looked at Moses as this great hero and parting the Red Sea and guiding them for all those years through the desert. and the whole thing we hear. But he says, don't be like Moses. Was Moses perfect? No, neither one of us are. He wasn't perfect. You see, he went and he listened to God. And as soon as he came down from the mountain, he quickly listened to the complaints of the people. Instead of proclaiming what God told him to say, the Ten Commandments, instead of coming in and saying, this is what I'm wanting you to do, he literally listened to the complaints of the people, and after so much complaining, he finally gave in. And Paul says, don't be like Moses. And this is what Moses did. Moses took a veil and strapped it around here, put a bandana type of thing, and covered his face. He literally covered his face so that he could speak to the people. And says, don't be like Moses, who covered the glory of the presence of God. It says, we who now have this new hope in Christ, we who have the glory of God with us, let's not be like Moses and cover it up. Let's not be like Moses and hide it one more time. So what are we talking about today? We're talking about freedom. We're talking about being free and walking in the power and the knowledge of God in you and God in me. But if we cover our face, if we hide what's going on inside of us, then we'll never be able to see God clearly. Okay? We'll never be able to see and understand exactly, God, what are you doing? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull for this day. Listen to this. But their minds were made dull. For this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom weekend, right? We want to talk about freedom? This is it right here. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory, and being transformed into the image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. This is powerful. Now we with unveiled faces. Okay, let's go back. Christ is dying on the cross. And when he states, it is finished, the Bible quickly goes to the temple and it says the temple was torn from top to bottom. The veil was removed. The veil, the symbol of the veil was Moses covering. The Holy of Holies. That was Moses' face behind the veil. The veil's ripped out. Now through Christ, there's no veil. There's nothing hiding. But notice what it said. Every time you read just the Old Testament, the veil is put back. But when you understand who Christ is in the New Testament, the veil is ripped away. Because you understand it's through Christ. It says it's only through Christ that a veil could be ripped away. Now let's talk about this. This is my own opinion. You guys can agree or disagree. But I'm telling you, throughout history, people have an image of what Satan looks like, what the devil looks like. We talked about that last week. There is an enemy. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, that we have an adversary who is the devil, who prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We have an enemy. There's no doubt. Okay, we're not afraid of him. But we do have one. And everyone has this image of the devil being this person with the horns and the red face and the goatee and the goat's feet, poking people in the rear to get them to go to hell. This ugly demonic creature that does all this. I'm going to tell you my image. According to what I just read, this is the image I have of the enemy. A little old person rocking in a chair, crocheting and knitting and making veils. That's all he's doing. That's all he's doing. And what he does with those veils, once he's done, he puts it on a rack. He's making another veil, puts it on a rack. Getting another veil, puts it on a rack. And when he does that, You see, the devil can't put that on you. The devil can't put a veil on you. Well, how does the veil get on me? We go shopping. Think about it. Here's this rack of veils, and we all kind of go, and hey, look at this. And once you do this, just like everybody ever tried on sunglasses or something? Once you do this, hey, how's this look on me? You can't take it off. It says once the veil is put on, you can't take it off. In other words, once I get into a certain aspect of life, or once I'm getting into a bad habit, or once I'm doing something, and say, yeah, I could quit anytime I want to. You ever heard that? Oh, I don't have a problem. I can stop anytime I want to. Oh, I could do this. Oh, it's no big deal. I'm in control. I got this. But once you put a veil on, again, the enemy is not strangling you to put a veil on. The enemy's not doing that. He's just going crazy, making all kinds. So let's talk about some of these veils. A veil is something that I can't see God clearly because there's a veil there. Now, it did say it was a blanket. You can see through it. It says we see through a glass darkly. But that's referring to, you ever look through the bottom of a Coke bottle or something, or a Pepsi bottle, and you see images, or like a kaleidoscope, you see something, but you can't make clarity of what it is. With God in our lives and Christ who died for us, who paid the price for our freedom, we could see God clearly now, face to face. Second Chronicles, it says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and seek my face, look at me. Mom and dad, you ever do that to your kids? You're talking to them? No, look at me. They're talking, no, look at me. You know, I remember I did that with my kids, and then one time my kid was talking to me. I think it was Gianna, my daughter. She's 20 now, but when she was a little one, and I'm just watching, you know, I'm into a football game or something, and she thought, Dad, and she grabs my face, and she goes, look at me. You know, and so I'm like, yeah, she learned quick, you know, because I'm like, look at me when I'm talking to you. So here we go. This veil. Let's talk about some of these veils. Again, the enemy's just going crazy, making all kinds of veils and putting them on the racks. We go shopping and we put them on. Let's talk about a veil of drugs and alcohol. What would that look like? Is that veil kind of a cloudy smoke and a sense of delusion that I can't see God clear because of this veil in my life, this issue in my life? Okay, let me talk about another one. What about depression? I can't see God clearly because I always look at, when I think on things of God, I can't see anything because I always look to this veil of, it could be, let's say, a veil that's torn and worn and seems like it's falling apart. And therefore, all I see life in anything I do is in that manner. That guy, it's no good. And the depression sets in. Maybe it's a veil of pornography. I can't think of anything without thinking that. Maybe it's just a veil of past. This veil looks like a history book because we can never go forward because we're always thinking of the past. Now, we learn from the past. We always look back and we learn from that. But it's not meant to blind us so that we can never go forward because we're always living in the past. Being a golf instructor, for those that don't know, I 6 years, like high school golf instructor, one of the biggest things for anybody that plays golf, you know that as soon as you hit that ball, you got to forget about what you just did. Because if you're always thinking about the bad hit you made over here, your mind is not focused on where you're at right now. You're not going forward. You're always living in the past. Like, we're always living in a rearview mirror. There's a bunch of other veils that we can go on and on talking about. Okay, maybe it's the idea of money. I got to have money. We got to have money in our life. We need more money. And all it is money, money, money. And your veil are just a bunch of bills all stuck together. You can't really see anything because all you see is money. All you think about is money. And then we could go on. I mean, we could stay here all day talking about what kind of veil did we go shopping for. Remember, the devil didn't put it there. We just kind of like dabbed in a little interest. Maybe got a little tempted. maybe got to the place where we put it on. No, it says, look, it says he put it on, and according to the scripture here, you want freedom? The only one that can take that veil away from you and from me, that habitual issue that's been holding me back, that thing that has kept me down, the only thing that could set me free is Christ. It's Jesus. He's the only one, according to scripture, he's the only one that can remove the veil from you and from me. It says, if I want freedom, God, I'm tired of the way things are. I'm tired of what's going on in my life. I'm tired of what's happening. And we have this false image of who God is, because I can't really see God, because all I see is this. It could be maybe this false religion I've been a part of. Maybe it's this mindset of occultism. Maybe it's this always getting involved in things. And I could just go on and on. All these different things that we're, I can't really get into God because this is in my life. Well, what is that? Well, according to the scriptures, it's a veil. And when Christ died on that cross, the Bible says it was ripped from top to bottom. In other words, God was the one that went and ripped it out. It wasn't man from the bottom up saying, okay, let's rip this thing out of our life. No, it was God saying, now you have freedom. Now there's a new covenant. Now there's a new way to walk. And if you, and as you walk in triumph with God. You walk every day in triumph. Is it going to be perfect? Was Moses' life perfect? No. We see here he's using an example like, let's not be like Moses on that example. Let's be like Moses in other things. I mean, how many want to go part water? I mean, come on. Think about it. Go to your swimming pool. Okay. You're trying. I'm trying, man. Think about this. Are we perfect? No, I mess up all the time. But I still can walk with God in triumph. I could still be a part of the procession. I could still be a part of that parade that cheers people's lives when I walk by day to day. As those people are watching me, I can do what I can to be a blessing to them. I hope that as I come around, I'm a blessing to people, not death, not a curse. That wherever I go, I could be a blessing to them, not a curse. Because that's what it says. Either people are going to receive you as a blessing, as life, or a curse as death. But that's really up to them, because what you're doing is you are pretty much, God is saying, you're in my parade now. And as you're in my parade, you just keep walking. And it says, I'm being held captive. You know, listen to this. I'm being held captive in this parade. That's what he says. But is it God the one keeping us captive? No. We have freedom that we can go and come. There's a scripture in John chapter 10. Jesus declares himself as the good shepherd. I remember last year we talked about this when we were going through the book of John. And Jesus said, I am the gatekeeper. Because when at night when the shepherd would corral his sheep, he would put them in an area where they could be blocked like a rock covering or a cave or something. And then he would put bushes there and then there would be an opening and the He goes, I am the good shepherd. I'm going to lay my life down at the gate so that the sheep can't go through. But he says, but they actually can go through. What he's really preventing is for the enemy, the wolves and the creatures out there that want those sheep, they're not going to come in. He goes, no one's going to take them out of my hand. So think about this. Jesus is there and he says, I am that door. I am that gate. And you can go and come as you want to. You're not being captive by me. So who's keeping us captive in this processional? Who's the one keeping us captive in this parade? It's a play on words. It's like Paul who writes, I, Paul, a slave unto God. I, Paul, a servant unto the Lord. Is he really a servant or a slave? When you dedicate yourself completely over to someone, your spouse, a covenant you make with your spouse, you're giving your 100% to that person. In other words, this ring symbolizes that 100% of me belongs to you. 100%. When you're sold out 100% to anything, to anyone, You're like, I'm a slave to them. I'm a captive to them. But not because they're with a whip and binding me, but because I surrender. I'm a captive into God's parade only because I choose to be. I want to be. You ever heard of the term bondservant? A bondservant was one that could leave anytime they wanted to, but they chose to stay. I choose to be here. I choose to walk in this parade. I choose to walk day to day. I choose to do everything I can to live veil free. The only problem is sometimes I don't just have one veil. Think about it. I got like multiple veils. Well, yeah, God help me with that one issue. Well, what about this one? He's still working on me. Remember I told you guys when I got saved at 15, and I shared this a couple times back, that I really did have an alcohol problem. I really did. I don't consider myself a drunk at 15, but anytime alcohol was available, I was caught up into that. Do you know when that all started for me? When I was 8 years old. You see, my grandfather would have my grandmother and my grandfather divorced in their 60s. That was a hard time for us. My grandmother couldn't take it anymore, so she left. My grandfather was a good man, but he didn't make a lot of money. And so with a lot of things my grandmother wanted, I mean, she gave her heart to God later, and she's gone with the Lord now. But there was some rough times there. And when she left, everybody would come over to Grandpa's house so we won't be alone. My grandfather, if you guys remember my story of being a compa and a manito, if you guys remember that from a year ago or so, you guys don't remember? I'll have to do it again. Okay. Well, remember we talked about that giving out freely and just loving on. My grandpa would take care of so many people, and the next thing you know, he would have so many people coming over, especially because he was alone. But they were not just bringing him a little beer and wine, because he never was drunk in public. But on the weekend, they drank a lot, some hard stuff. And there was this huge table that they all played poker and cards. Well, they would get so drunk that they literally would fall asleep at the table, all his buddies. 2, 3 in the morning, they're all passed out. My grandpa, we'd lay him down so he wouldn't fall and put a pillow there. I was a little kid. But I remember, around 8 years old, that kind of got dared to taste Grandpa's drink. And that sounds gross. And I did. And so that following weekend, when they all passed out, we drank a little bit more. And just tasted and drank and tasted and drank. When I took that first little drink as an 8-year-old, as innocent and not knowing anything about life and anything, I literally went like this, because at that age of accountability, I put that veil on. And all I could think about was, can't wait for next weekend. We're going to go. Well, you know, another reason why was because they would play poker for money, and there was always money laying around when they fell asleep. We didn't take it all because we know that we were the thief in the house, but we... It was like a piñata every weekend. You know, money would always fall, and we'd pick it up. There was a veil put over me. And when I gave my heart to God, and I've told you guys that, I would literally come to the altar, and I would come, and I would pray. Every Friday night, we had an outreach youth service, and every Friday night, I would, God, forgive me. I'm sorry for what I'm doing in my life. I'm messing up, and this alcohol is just driving me crazy. And the next thing you know, I would be, oh, man, okay, God, I'm good. And I'd walk out. My friends would be parked outside, and they'd show me a couple beer bottles. And they're like, let's go. And I'm like, okay. You know, I would just, that quick, I was there again. I was there again. I was there again. I was there again. For me, now hear what I'm saying. For me, that was a veil. Why? Because my grandpa died, cirrhosis of the liver. My real dad died, a homeless man, drunk, ran over by a train. All the divorces in my family are due to alcohol and drugs. Aunts, uncles, grandparents, every one of them. For me, that was a veil. I can't speak on behalf of you. I'm hoping and praying that you're veil free. You want freedom? Well, you might say, Albert, I don't know if I'm veil free. You can have freedom today. How? Giving it to Jesus. Giving it to the Lord. And understanding and believing that, God, you are right here. I could see you now. I could see you now. It's like going to the eye doctor and putting on the right prescription of glasses, like, oh, I could see now. Because everything was getting a little blurry. I don't know if you guys have gotten close enough to see in my eye, but right here there's a buildup on one of my eye, my eye right here. And I went to the eye doctor. Within our ministry, we have our own optical clinic, one of our trailers. And I went to my eye doctor, and I told him, I said, hey, am I getting cataracts, or what's going on? And he looked at my eyes, and he goes, no, he goes, you've been staring in the sun too long. You're always outside. He goes, do you wear sunglasses? I go, I don't. He says, well, that buildup is from the sun burning your eye. Because if you notice, I have these what's called crow's feet right here, because I'm always squinting. And so I have this thing going on. And I'm saying this because I'm realizing that, man, if I don't do something to correct, he goes, you could lose your sight. Because you're always in the sun and you're burning your eye. I'm like, I got to do something. So I got sunglasses. I got 3 pair now. Okay? I'm walking around with all kinds of sunglasses. I have to do, see, listen, if you don't do something, that veil is going to take your freedom. It's already taken your freedom because you're not free. You're not veil free. But is it going to take your life? If you know that it's going to take your life, you got to do something. I got to do something about this. So what do? We surrender it to the Lord. We give it to God. Let me go to chapter 4, verse 1. Read a little bit, and then we'll go. Verse 1. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we just distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truly plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, listen to this, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Again, just going back and saying, it's only through God. The enemy has blinded the unbeliever. The only way that person could be a believer is the veil being removed and say, wow, I see God now. I see God now. Does he say your life is going to be perfect now that you see God? Absolutely not. Matter of fact, let's just read this last part. It's 12:30. We end here. I know I end 3 times, so we got one more after this. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Verse 7, following verse. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this is all-surpassing power is from God and not from ourselves. Listen to this part. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. What does that all mean? It basically says, your life isn't going to be perfect from this point on, but you're going to have God. So when you're struck down, you're not struck out. There was a prayer request for a little one battling cancer. And I shared that my son, when he was 4 years old, was hit with a brain tumor. And from 4 years old to 12 years old, neuroblastoma, grade 4, we fought cancer hardcore. And prayed and prayed and prayed. He's 23 now, but a lot of issues, and a lot of you know my son, you've met my son. But I got to tell you, the verse that kept me through those tough times in my life with what I just read to you right here. That I may be struck down, but I'm not struck out. I would have my son in my image in my head. I'm holding my son, and I felt like I was in a boxing ring, and I'm holding my son, and I'm just getting hit. But God gives the strength to get back up. Troubled times are going to come, but you're not going to be knocked out. You're not going to be destroyed. You'll go through things, but God is going to be with you. That is a sign. Listen to me. How do I know I'm living in this new covenant? How do I know that I'm living a veil-free life? Because you got back up. When life knocked you down, you got back up. Because most give up. Most throw the towel. Most are praying for a ding-ding, waiting for it to be over. How do I know I'm going to make it? Because he says, I'm not knocked out. What's the sign? I'm veil-free. The freedom that I know I can lift my hands. The freedom that I know I can worship him anywhere. The freedom that I know that God is with me. If he's not with you, why isn't he? I'm telling you right now, there is a veil. And if you're tired of that veil being there, just ask him, God, please come into my life. Remove this veil from me so that I could see you. It's mind-blowing to see what God does after that. Because now you're in the parade. And now you're blessing everybody. And maybe you're like me. You're throwing candy to everybody. You know, you're just like, man, I'm just having a good time here. I'm just loving God. Let's stand. And worship team, could you guys come up? Let's take a moment. Try to just reflect on this here. I'm going to read that part again. I'm going to ask you, if you would you extend your hands to your neighbors or someone next to you? We're in this together, guys. I know some of you are visiting and some are new, but this is the beauty of this wonderful congregation here. They love each other, and we love everyone and do our best to be there for you guys. Go ahead, team. Go ahead and just start playing. I'm going to just read this again. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. God, I just thank you so much for everything that you're doing in our lives. And I pray, God, that you would help us right now, Lord, to look at you without a veil. That I want to be free, God. And I pray for my neighbor next to me, right and left, and I ask you to help them, that they would understand who you are. I've done my best to try to explain it, but God, I can't get through unless the veil's gone. And once the veil's gone, they'll see you. Not me, they'll see you. Help my neighbor to be free. Help me to be free. Let me enjoy this freedom. Let me walk in your parade. Let me be the greatest firework, God, that's just going on, that's just going to blow some people away because of you, not me. This isn't because of me, it's because of you. But I want to be used of you. God, I thank you that you're moving in our lives. For all our friends and family that aren't here, we pray blessing over them and ask you, God, to help them. And God, we thank you. As we thank you for all those that have sacrificed that we could celebrate this freedom here in the U.S., for all our military, our first responders in every facet of life. God, thank you for them. Would you let go of your neighbor's hand? And as we worship God, I'm going to encourage you. Feel free to just worship in spirit and in truth. If you want to raise your hands, raise your hands. Raising your hands is a sign of freedom. It's like, I could do this.